from New Hampshire Public Radio. This is Word of Mouth. I'm Virginia Prescott, moving back in time for a moment to 1976, when the band ended its touring career. This is Emmylou Harris and Lee Von Helm singing Evangeline from The Last Waltz, Martin Scorsese's film of that final show at the Winterland Ballroom in San Francisco. The film is often held up as the greatest rock movie ever made and is almost universally loved, except by Lee Von Helm. The musician, actor, composer, and original member of the band died a year ago this week. But then Lee Von Helm was a drummer who marched to a different drummer. Helm's creative struggles, crippling personal losses, and musical renaissance are covered by the writer, editor, and Spy magazine alum Jamie Malinowski. And we welcome Jamie, author of the Book of Lee Von, The Trials and Triumphs of Lee Von Helm. Jamie, great to have you with us.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
So, Jamie, why did Lee Von Helm dislike The Last Waltz, in fact, despise it, as we learn in your book?
He really was not happy that Robbie Robertson, his bandmate, wanted to break up the band. For Lee Von, it was a source of income and stature and status, but Robbie didn't really want to continue anymore. Then once the way the film was executed, Lee Von also objected to the way so much emphasis seemed to be placed on Robbie and less on the other members of the band. And so he didn't like that either. And despite the fact that he really came across extremely well in the way the film went. So it was one of those great kind of ironic things that he would have to go through the rest of his life meeting people who said, I loved you in The Last Waltz. Mm. I got interested in music because of The Last Waltz. And he would, shake their hands and say thank you and kind of quietly seethe.
A defining moment of this year's Grammy Awards was this tribute to Lee Von Helm with Mavis Staples and Mumford & Sons and Elton John and Zac Brown, and they sang The Wait, this classic band song. I can only imagine all of the Bieber fans wondering, WTF is Lee Von Helm, or who the heck are these people? Who the heck are these people? But, there is this way that he sort of bridged a gap between young and old. Well, why do you think that worked for him?
I think that he was a genuinely good person. I mean, that he was an unaffected person, unpretentious. And all throughout the middle part of his career, the dark days of his career, that continued to present itself. No matter what kind of troubles he was having, he was always kind of a generous spirit. His daughter Amy says that he, for example, always remembered the names of people that he played with. Hmm. And years later, he'd run into them, and it'd be, hey, Virginia, nice seeing you, how's the guitar, and he would remember them. And people, I think, really appreciated that. It was a kind of a validation of them and their careers and their contributions.
Well, you didn't see all these tributes to Rick Danko after he died or Richard Manuel after he died. As you said, sounds like he was genuinely a great, nice person. But tell us a little bit more about these dark years that you speak of. What was plaguing Lee Von Helm?
He had a hand-built home that he lived in that burned down. He had the deaths of these close friends. He had money problems, and then the most crushing of all was he had cancer around the year 2000, and throat cancer. He was a 3-pack-a-day smoker, and he underwent radiation therapy. And at the end of the time, the cancer went in remission, but his voice was shot, his singing voice was shot. And that seemed like such a terrible, terrible price to pay for a man who had one of the purest singing voices, in the last 50 years. But gradually it came back. And the remarkable thing about the last decade of his life is that as his voice came back, he also kind of created a place for himself where his artistic sensibilities were reestablished. He began playing the Midnight Ramble, which were small performances in his home for about 100, 125 people. And he had a very tight band. He had very accomplished people who would come up from New York City or whatever and play. And these were tremendous shows where on a Saturday night they'd play for 3 or 4 hours. They would play songs from the whole Americana songbook, New Orleans music, Cajun music, blues, gospel, old rock and roll, songs from the band, songs from the Grateful Dead. It was just an amazing kind of show in this small, intimate circumstances. And eventually, all kinds of stars began to come in as the opening act. You mentioned Emmylou Harris, but also Elvis Costello and Kris Kristofferson and John Hyatt. And folks would come up and, you know, you couldn't get a show like that, you know, in any kind of club. But here it was in the woods in Woodstock.
Well, if you sang the song, you know the way it was written, and you marched right along, yeah, to the beat of that drum. Remember when you jump to the 8 o'clock whistle, you know the battle is over.
Battle is over, but the war goes on.
I'm speaking with Jamie Malinowski. He's author of The Book of Levon, The Trials and Triumphs of Levon Helm. Friday will mark the one-year anniversary of Levon Helm's death. I loved reading in your book about his inspiration for these midnight rambles. They were traveling medicine shows. So he was evoking sort of this era of true Americana.
Yes, exactly. You know, he grew up in a place called Turkey Scratch, Arkansas. And these minstrel shows would come through. And as I gather from his description, you know, there'd be a part that took place earlier in the evening that the whole family could come to. And then there'd be the midnight ramble part where the kids would go home and the adults would enjoy some off-color fun, and the hoochie-coochie dancers would perform, and kind of anything goes. You know, the other thing that he would do is that he was a boy working on the cotton field, is he would sneak over to the radio station in nearby Helena. He'd, like, hitchhike over. And once a week there was a blues show there with Pine Top Perkins and these other great blues masters.
Right.
And the people at the radio station would know Levon because he had played at all the 4-H shows and so forth, and they would let him sit in. And so, I mean, Levon was a guy who really managed to, you know, like an Elvis Presley, bring all these strains of music together.
He did win part of his renaissance. He recorded a couple of albums, a couple of Grammy Award-winning albums, one called in 2007 called Dirt Farmer. Here's the song, Poor Old Dirt Farmer.
Oh, the poor old dirt farmer, he's lost all his corn. And now where's the money to pay off his loan? He lost all his corn, can't pay off his loan. He lost all his corn. Well, the poor old dirt farmer, he only grows stone.
Levon Helm there singing Poor Old Dirt Farmer from his 2007 Grammy Award-winning album, Dirt Farmer. This is after losing and then regaining his voice. Jamie Malinowski, the thought of the tragedy of him never regaining his voice, what would have happened to Levon Helm if he had never gotten that voice back?
You know, it's really hard to say, though. In the immediate aftermath of it, he formed a band that was just a blues band, and he was the drummer of the band, and he kind of dedicated himself to his drumming. And I think that was an indication of a kind of positive attitude that he brought to all these experiences, you know, where he just kept trying to make the best out of what was in front of him, a real kind of stoicism that is all too rare these days. And yet, at the same time, you know, Amy Helm and others will tell you that it weighed on him that he had lost his voice and that he was just elated when it began to come back. And it's a different voice. It's an old man's voice. It's a more weathered, but it really suits him. It just fits him like a glove. It's, you know, the same authenticity that you heard in the band's recordings when he would sing, you know, The Night They Drove Old Dixie Down or The Wait. It grew into this other, also appropriate voice that was just as authentic and had all the experience of his years and his troubles in it. And I think that's why people really responded to these performances of his later period.
Writer and editor Jamie Malinowski, he's author of a new book called The Book of Levon, The Trials and Triumphs of Levon Helm. We want to thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And there's a link to download the book at wordofmouthradio.org.
I pulled in from Nazareth. I was feeling about half past dead.
find a place where I can lay my head. Mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? You know he grinned and he shook my hand. No was all he said.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks so much for listening. Segments and links from today's stories are available as audio at our website or as podcasts at wordofmouthradio.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Please do join us again tomorrow at noon for more new ideas here on New Hampshire Public Radio.
Word of Mouth is produced by Taylor Quimby,
Zach Nugent,
and Bill Barry.
And senior producer Rebecca Lavoie.
With plenty of help from our awesome interns,
Allie Kosmikas
and Logan Shannon.
Sarah Plord is our digital producer.
And Dan Colgan runs our board.
The views expressed in this program
are those of the individuals
and not those of NHPR, its board of trustees,
or its underwriters.
To subscribe to our podcast
and listen to past shows, go to wordofmouthradio.org.
You can also join us on Facebook and Tumblr.
Follow us on Twitter.
And check out a playlist of music from the program
on Spotify.
Word of Mouth is a production
of New Hampshire
Public Radio.